Radio of, for, and by We the Working People. The Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. So as we've been talking about over the last several weeks, I think Roe versus Wade is going to go the way of the dinosaurs. I think we're going to make abortion illegal again in a number of states. We're going to refight the battles of the 50s and the 60s. We're going to go back through all of the pain, the suffering, all of the tragedy, all of the horror stories. It's all coming back. Thank you, Donald Trump. Thank you, Christian majority. Thank you, evangelical nut jobs. But also with that, I do expect same-sex marriage to go. I do expect all of the progress of the 20th century of we the people being we the people. I expect that all to go. And the question is, you know, how do we stop it from going first? And what do we do if it actually gets to that? And that's why I've asked our good friend Chris Droop to come talk with us. Chris is an incredible writer on the topic of evangelicals. I like the ex-evangelical. He's the founder of the Empty the Pews and Expose Christian Schools hashtag. Chris, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
So, am I right? Am I wrong to expect that if Roe goes, and I fully expect that it will, that the Obergefell, am I saying that right? That case goes too.
Yeah, I certainly think Obergefell is also going to be on the chopping block. And, you know, very possibly Lawrence v. Texas. I mean, the Christian right won't stop here. They'll want to put sodomy laws back on the books. And even Griswold v. Connecticut, because, you know, ultimately, I mean, that was a birth control case, but it's established the right to privacy. That is so important to the ruling in Roe. And, yeah, I don't think you're wrong. Things are very, very grim at the moment.
You know, I had this conversation with my daughter, and, you know, my daughter's 17 years old, and, you know, she's becoming more politically aware. And, you know, she said, well, ultimately, what do you think the end of this is? And I said, ultimately, it's about controlling you. It's about making sure that you have no choice, that you will be the responsibility and you will be dependent on a man. And ultimately, I believe that to be the case.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, so you're looking at, you know, this general demographic of white men losing power, and you know, some white men are not dealing with this well at all. So conservative white men are doing everything they can to reassert control over women. They have this kind of pathological need to be superior to somebody, to feel like they're in control in order to feel safe. I mean, this is how authoritarianism is how the ideology works in people's minds. You know, it's really quite thick and twisted. And, you know, these kinds of aggrieved authoritarians, let's just call them fascists, because this is certainly a variety of fascism, they don't just stop when they meet their goal, because they constantly have to be in motion. They constantly have to have an enemy in order to function at all. It's part of the ethos. It's part of the mentality. So let's say they outlaw Roe. You know, they're going to go for outlawing homosexuality again after they rid of same-sex marriage. They're gonna take it as far as they can, and it's hard to say where this ends or what could lead us to a best-case kind of soft landing scenario. We're gonna have a lot of damage to undo, and you know, I think let's say we get a Democratic president in 2020. I think we should probably pack SCOTUS, add two justices, make it 11, because it would only be fair, given that they've stolen two Supreme Court seats. But I do wonder if we'll have the spine to do that, or if we'll have the Senate. So, you know, even in a best case scenario, I'm sure we'll still be undoing the damage of this for years and probably decades, if we can even ever fully undo it.
Yeah, I mean, I keep thinking about how much of the 20th century they're undoing. I mean, first, you know, I said first, you know, look, you go back to the, you know, the Pastor Niemöller quote. First they came for the trade unionists, and I said nothing. First the Trump people came for the trade unionists. You got Janus. Then they came for, you know, the women and their abortion rights, and eventually they're going to come for gays and lesbians and their right to exist, and eventually they're going to come down to the rest of us. At some point, they come for us all unless you become part of them. And look, I don't know when religion became this crazy, but it's scaring me.
Yeah, well, you know, this kind of zealotry has always been around in religious communities. Call it fundamentalism. It's a historical feature. I mean, there's also an argument to be made that fundamentalism is a modern thing that dates back to the early 20th century. But I think, you know, this kind of zeal and authoritarian desire to impose control is something that you can trace back much further in history within religions. And the religions also have operated in more benign and benevolent ways. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword and a Rorschach test. But unfortunately, religion can very easily be manipulated by people who are bigoted, who do have authoritarian personalities, paranoid personalities, and wielded as a kind of justification for them asserting control, claiming that this is God's will or God's plan. There are good Christians fighting back against this. You know, we could mention any number of people, Reverend Dr. William Barber and the Moral Mondays. You know, so it's not like all Christians in the United States are causing all these horrors to happen. It's white Christians in particular, and especially white evangelicals and white Catholics. If we look back to 2016, majorities of all white Christians, including the mainline Protestant denominations, did vote for Donald Trump, which is a really disappointing fact. But nobody more so than the white evangelicals. And Trump has rewarded them. He's surrounded himself with them at high levels in the cabinet and the bureaucracy, and also with radical Catholics.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm not, and I do make the point that I'm not attacking all people of faith. But I remember people who believed in peace and social justice and feeding the poor and clothing the naked and finding shelter for the homeless and caring for the sick and all of this stuff that I remember growing up with in the Catholic Church before somehow it got really, really nuts. I mean, they were always about money. I mean, they're always greedy. But now they've just gone completely off their flipping rocker. And a lot of what we see publicly, and I point to this, you know, this representative in Michigan. This crazy woman who recently said, well, you know, abortion should hurt. And you go, wait a second. Who are you to say? Someone who had an abortion.
It's a very punitive mentality. And certainly we do see that in kind of hardline or traditionalist Catholicism as well, that, you know, there's this idea of redemptive suffering that can be very toxic. But it's horrifying. And it's funny because, you know, exactly those good things that you remember about the Catholic social justice tradition are what drove Mike Pence out of Catholicism and into evangelicalism. He didn't like that Kennedy Catholicism that he grew up with. It was too liberal. So, you know, he left the Catholic Church.
You know, but the thing is, you know, I talk to folks and I don't think many people, you know, understand just how extreme some of the policymakers, because, you know, I look at this and there are people in this extreme religious community who they've got the mentality that they need to take over politically. I mean, you look at some of these people who in the name of their God or of Jesus or whatever, do some of the most vile, hateful things. And I'm going, you know, how is it that they even get elected? I mean, how do you get these people into office? I mean, it's incredible to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, America has a kind of weird, evolved federalist system, and states with lower populations and areas with lower populations and more rural populations, there you can easily get majorities in these districts to go for more radical people. Now, it's true the Republican Party has become much more radical than it used to be, and that's a monster of the establishment Republicans' own making when they used gerrymandering to try to create a permanent Republican majority in 2010. They created these safe red districts that allowed Tea Party radicals, primary establishment Republicans, and they certainly made the situation worse. But the Electoral College is always you know, favored conservatism or the status quo. Combine that with gerrymandering and voter suppression, and it's quite easy for radicals from many parts of America to get disproportionate power, even though most Americans disagree with them. And so I just saw a CBS poll today, for example, on the question of abortion and Roe v. Wade, and 67% of Americans do not want SCOTUS to overturn Roe. So the Trump regime is extremely out of step with the American people. We the people do not have power. But there's also a huge partisan divide there. So only 45% of Republicans don't want Roe overturned. 87% of Democrats oppose the overturning of Roe. 11% of Democrats, I assume these are a lot of them are, you know, Southern Democrats and maybe some from Indiana. 11% do want Roe overturned.
And maybe some from Indiana.
I mean, I'm from Indiana, and yeah, we have a lot of those old school, you know, Dixiecrat type Dems there. There's Blue Dogs or whatever, they're still around. 48% of Republicans want Roe overturned, which is interesting. I mean, even with Republicans, though, it's just a plurality. And 45% oppose. So the Trump administration, this Supreme Court, it's just extremely out of step with the American people.
Yeah, but again, look at a lot of the policies they pursue out of step with what the majority of people want. That doesn't seem to bother them or concern them that they're going to lose at the ballot box.
Indeed, it doesn't bother them. And authoritarians have no problem, you know, fixing things at the ballot box if it comes to that. Certainly voter suppression has kept down minority votes. I think there are big suspicions about the gubernatorial elections in Florida and Georgia that happened in the last cycle, you know, so there's some malfeasance there. Our conservatives, American conservatives, authoritarians, fascists, when they can't win fairly, they cheat. They have no bones about it. Trump doesn't care about the rule of law.
No, sadly, that's true. I go back to the Paul Wehrick quote I play every once in a while. He was talking to 20,000 Baptist ministers back in 1980, you know, saying, you know, how many want our good Christians, everyone to vote? He said, I don't want everybody to vote. Our power goes up as the voting populace goes down. I mean, he's laying out the future of their policy maneuvers, you know, back in 1980, saying, look, we're going to figure out how to suppress the vote.
And before that, Paul Wehrick of Heritage Foundation Infamy. I mean, you know, they've understood that they don't want most Americans to vote for a very long time, because the fewer people that vote, the more power that they gain, these white conservative Christians. And in fact, the percentage of white evangelicals that they make up in the American population, they're declining. You know, the latest statistics have them down to about, white evangelicals down to about 16% of the U.S. population. But in the 2018 midterm elections, they still made up 25% of the electorate. And for the last, I don't remember exactly how many election cycles, even as their numbers have declined, they have remained at a steady 25% of the electorate. They get out and vote. And they're doing everything they can with voter ID laws and everything else to keep people that they consider to be undesirable from voting. But turnout is how Democrats win. And it's really our only hope in 2020 is as much voter turnout as possible. So I see it as so wrongheaded when some candidates in the Democratic field in the primaries are kind of billing themselves as the people who can win over the Trump voter, because that's just not going to work.
I'm not fond of Biden's approach so far, because I think you're talking about Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. I mean, some of the others have said similar things, but I think Biden is the most serious contender who's kind of
The epiphany comment. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm not buying that, because you had a front row seat for 6 years, for all 8 years, but of really of 6 years of Republicans having control of at least one of the chambers of the government, obstructing everything, and not just obstructing, but stealing a Supreme Court seat. Look, if Mitch McConnell is not going to have an epiphany. Mitch McConnell is not going to go, oh, gee, I'm so sorry. Can we be friends now? That ain't happening.
No, he's all in. I mean, Mitch McConnell is definitely not going to have an epiphany. And it is a funny thing because, you know, Joe Biden watched the incredible Obama ground game work. And he should be the first to understand that turnout is what wins elections for Democrats.
Yeah, and again, it's gonna they should be able to use, these culture war things to bring people out, because before I think people just thought, well, the Republicans raise money off of this, they're going to make it a little more difficult, the Gorsuches and the Kavanaughs, they're not going to really overturn it, they'll just make it a little more difficult. I seriously believe they're going to overturn it. The dog has caught the car.
Are still thinking that way, and we really need to be aware of how serious the threat that the Christian right is to democracy and human and civil rights, to the very idea of equality, and to all these things that we consider to be important American ideals. They are going to push us back as far as they can. And so, you've had all these people saying for years now, well, Republicans don't really want Roe overturned, because then they won't have that red meat issue to rally their base with.
Yeah. It's incredible.
And, there might well be some cynical establishment Republicans who have thought that way, but the monster that they have created now is not going to stop short of overturning Roe. This Supreme Court, I think, if one of these draconian, heartbeat bills or abortion bans makes it to the Supreme Court, I think they will overturn Roe.
I'm with you right there with you. Last question I've got.
You get one more justice, absolutely. Then it's an outright given.
Oh, absolutely. So what do we do? I mean, what's the answer here?
I mean, I think in the short term, we definitely have to pull together, do what we can to support each other, protect the vulnerable, and get people out there to vote in 2020. Vote blue no matter who. Turnout is the one thing that might possibly turn things around. It's going to be a real challenge to retake the Senate. But, even if we just get a Democratic president and House, Senate obstructs everything, but that's better than letting things get actively worse. And long-term, my strategy has been, as someone who's kind of come on the scene as a commentator and someone who talks about the experience of growing up with evangelical radicalism and going to Christian school and being mobilized for the culture wars, is simply to try to expose how radical and extreme evangelicals are, most white evangelicals are, to the broader American public. People are starting to listen after a few years of pundits scratching their heads trying to figure out evangelical Trump support. We're starting to break through and be heard more often. And I think when more Americans really understand that these are anti-democratic forces with no interest in pluralism, who want to discriminate against people who are not like them, they'll start working at the local level. And we are going to have to fight on the local and state levels as hard as possible to oppose theocratic laws. I mean, of course, if Roe is overturned, then everything reverts to the states. And so state level battles are going to mean a lot.
Yeah, we got a lot.
And they still mean a lot in the meantime as well. We've got this whole Project Blitz initiative going on, all these things in the name of religious freedom, the abortion bans.
Yeah, we've got a lot to fight ahead of us. Chris, I appreciate the thoughts. I appreciate the time. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for having me on, Rick.
Good stuff, Chris Troop. Make sure you check out his work, ChrisTroop.com. We'll get links out. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Time to talk.
I don't believe that God wants me to give my money to someone like you. But I do believe in what a crazy man can do.